Welcome to the Bucket and Hoosier Show, the podcast that's all about community and competitive Rocket League.
If you're new to Rocket League, it's a high-flying, fast-paced game that combines soccer with rocket-powered cars. It's a game that's easy to pick up, but difficult to master.
And that's where our guests come in. We're talking about the best of the best in the Rocket League community to learn about their journeys, strategies, and tips for success.
Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, we've got something for everyone. So sit back, relax, and join us as we explore the exciting world of competitive Rocket League.
Join us live Monday evenings at twitch.tv/Bucket and Hoosier and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts to catch past episodes. Be sure to hit the follow and notification button so you know when new content has been posted.
I've said this before, and I'm going to say it. Channel 3 is the future. There's no platform like it. It's a place where you can post about video games, and you know everybody cares about it. They are just as excited to see your post about video games as you are to post it.
Finally, someone gets it.
Listen, if you're an up-and-coming content creator, you're just not going to find a more creator-friendly platform than Channel 3.
What?
You're just not. You can review new games, old games, systems. You can make lists of your favorite games, least favorite games, backlog. Boom.
They finally get the W.
Everything is gamified.
How much XP do I get for
There's daily quests, weekly challenges, daily minigames. There's tournaments, events. I can honestly say that it makes gaming more exciting than it's ever been.
More Twitch!
Oh!
What?
What?
Holy war!
Ever. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah!
All right. Good morning. Good evening. Welcome, everybody, back to the Bucket and Hoosier Show. I am Mr. Hoosier, and joining me, as always, Bucket. How you doing, buddy? How was your vacation?
What vacation?
You went on vacation for like a whole week.
I did?
And we disappeared for like 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's true. Listen, my vacation was the best thing I've ever done in my entire life.
Was it? The pictures looked fantastic.
It was better than fantastic.
It was better than fantastic.
There's literally nowhere else in the world where you can see the things and do the things that are in Bora Bora.
I was going to say, you went to Bora Bora, right?
Yeah. That's not a lie. Like, there's literally nothing that I can think of or nowhere. People talk about the Maldives, but there's no...
Yeah, the Maldives.
It's not like the same kind of volcanic island in that Pacific weather, like the tropicalness of it. It's just different than anywhere else in the whole world.
Huh. It's amazing. That's not a place I have been to yet. I know Bora Bora, people talk about Belize is supposed to be like another really good spot. Mm-hmm. But what all did you do? Like, I saw jet skis and all sorts of random stuff that you and your now wife partook.
Yeah, that's right. So what? We went there. Man, all right. I have a whole presentation laid out. I mean, I do, like a slideshow and all that, if you really want me to bust it out. But for real, I don't know. It's you fly to LA and then it's like an 8-hour flight to Tahiti. You get to Tahiti, it's a little tiny airport, super warm, no air conditioning, kind of like pass through. And then from Tahiti is the biggest island in French Polynesia, which French Polynesia is like lots and lots, dozens, I don't know, hundreds, I have no idea how many of islands, tiny islands that if you're like looking at a map, you can't see until you zoom in. But it spans the entire width of like what Europe is. So if you take Europe, put on a map, and then overlay all the islands, like that's how many islands, like wide it is in the middle of the ocean. And so you fly into Tahiti, and then from there they fly to all the little islands like directly. So you get on another like 45-minute flight and you fly past a bunch of islands to get to whichever one you're going to. And Bora Bora isn't that far away. It's like 45-minute flight.
You know, I've never actually looked it up before, and I just did for the first time. And yeah, that's in the middle of the goddamn ocean.
Yeah, like it's hard to wrap your head around until you fly there. And there's it's like, you know, go to Hawaii, but Hawaii is, you can still see on the map. Like, these are tiny islands.
Yeah.
So tiny, in fact. Like, so we got there, arrived. So we left at, like, you know, it was like an overnight flight. Then you get there in the morning. You're kind of like, what's happening? It's 3 hours behind. So it's like a whole day's worth of travel, but you're excited because it's like 8:10 p.m. when you arrive, and it's beautiful, and you want to go do stuff, but you still have to get your room and all this stuff. We're staying in this nice resort. There's 4 or 5 resorts in Bora Bora around it, Four Seasons and really nice ones. And then we stayed in one that is like run by a lot of the locals, so we got a lot of local cuisines and the language, and people were super nice. And their whole export is black pearls that are kind of native to Tahiti that they go find, right? These little black pearls that they sell. And then hospitality, like, those are the only two things they do, really. So a lot of cool stuff. And you get your room. We got a beachfront property the first night and then the second night. And then we got a over the water bungalow on the end. Like, there's a bunch of them, right? But on the end, there's only three of, like, the bigger ones. So there's no one in front of you. We had a full view of the mountain. It was amazing. And during those time, we kind of spaced out a bunch of stuff to do. We went jet skiing, like you talked about, around the entire island. So literally, you get on a jet ski and you go around the island, but you make little stops and they, like, tell you about what's going on. Like, a tourist takes a few hours, but it's only like, you know, 15 miles around or whatever. I don't know what it is.
And then, it doesn't look very big.
Yeah, it's not. And then we ATV'd around the whole thing, right? Like, there's one road that goes around it. Then you can go up into kind of the smaller mountains, and there's one big mountain in the middle. It's beautiful. But the whole draw to why it's so nice is because there's, like, these lagoons. It's like the ocean just stops where the islands are. And then there's these lagoons that are just 5 feet deep, and the waters are, like, crystal clear, light blue for like half mile into the ocean. So you can just walk half mile into the ocean and still be 4 or 5 feet deep, right? Or into the lagoons. So all these fish come up, and sharks. We snorkeled with them.
Sharks?
Yeah, a little black finned, like, 5 foot, 6 foot sharks. I have big pictures and videos of all this, and stingrays, manta rays we saw while we were snorkeling. Still super cool though. We went and checked out the island and did some shopping. We did, like, the spa day. We did everything that you could possibly think of that they offered. Got married on the beach there with a whole Tahitian ceremony. Just me and her too.
That looked very lovely.
It was crazy, man. It was just like the whole world disappeared. Nothing else mattered. It was awesome.
That's always nice to do. Like, the whole, like, you don't have any responsibilities. Like you had said before we got on here, like, you turned off, like, most of your notifications, and now you've come back and you're not even sure what notifications to turn back on.
Don't even care.
You almost find a new piece. Like, you get so wrapped up in the day-to-day stuff, you go do that, and it's like, oh, I can serve. Like, life still goes on. It's fine. I'm not missing anything. It's okay. So
that's right. Been grinding for so long, man.
That sounds like a lovely experience, but
it is. Yeah. And now we're in planning more, right? Like, how can we get to that again without it affecting the way we
breaking the bank,
life, right? Like, yeah. So that was like a one off. Like, that's a once in a lifetime trip, really, because how it kind of transpired was we were going to get married. We started planning it, and it's like all this money. We're like, man, we've been together for a long time. We've got kids. We're fine. Like, why do we need to have this ceremony for everybody else? Like, let's just go party, do our own thing. So we took all that money we were going to spend and just spend it for ourselves. And it was awesome.
That's good. That's awesome to hear. I mean, yeah, my wife and I, we've talked about doing something kind of like that as well, because it is good to do. Like, we did a quick little vacation trip back out there to Arizona, just my wife and I, and even just hanging out there for a week without the three kids running around, we're like, oh, hey, how's it going? Nice to talk to you again. What do you want to do? Because I don't know what to do with this time. So
you learn, though. That's the more time you have back with, like, you know, your partner becomes your friend again, and you realize why you guys were even hanging out in the first place. Like, so many things that you forget in your day-to-day lives that it's
right.
You just gotta find that time. It's hard to do.
It is hard, but it's important to do as well.
Have you heard of this? I can't remember. What's his name? Jesse Eisler, I think is his name.
It sounds familiar.
Motivational guy, kind of an entrepreneur guy, and he got this thing called the Big Ass Calendar. And it's literally, I have heard of that. I don't know if you can see this, but I have it over there on my wall. The Big
Yes, I have heard of that, where you like plan out the entire year.
Yeah, so that was kind of like the motivation of what we were doing was there's like three things you're supposed to put on this calendar. It's one, I can't remember the Japanese phrase used for it, but like one year defining thing every year. So that was ours, right? Like we planned it, we had it all planned, like everything, and that defines our whole year. Now I can look back in 2024 and be like, that's what I did, right? Yep. So you do one of those every year. Then there's eight throughout the year. So like every other week or so, or every other, I can't remember. It's like another, like something that you wouldn't have done before, you go do like every other week or something like that. Like one day, like go see a ball game or whatever. You just take time to do it. You put it on your calendar. And then another thing is like habit tracking. So like you add a new habit every month or whatever, that you didn't, like drink more water, right? Drink your calendar. And then by the end of the year, you've just like created this whole new life thing. And it's super cool to see it all kind of play out on the calendar. And that was kind of the whole inspiration for doing stuff like that. So I want to, again, get another one for next year and kind of plan out all that. And you don't have to do it all at the same time. You can kind of just go.
Yeah, it's like it's compounding, right? It's like compound interest. You don't, a lot of us, we think of doing like so many things that, oh, I got to get all this done. It's like, no, you just do one thing at a time and you'll find out throughout the year. What you will find is that it builds. And then, yeah, look, I did all That's this right. this year. And it's time to, now it's time to reset and kind of do it again.
Compound interest in your life. That's exactly right. Like, it's cool.
Yes. So, yeah, it's a good thing to do. I don't know if I can ever get around the big ass calendar. I struggle with thinking that far ahead. So
that's what I'm saying. You don't have to plan that far. You just like kind of put it together as you go. I didn't have it all filled out, but it was starting to fill out because I'm like thinking of the next thing or whatever.
So yeah, we'll have to consider that.
At first I sat down and that's exactly my problem. Like, this is a big problem, but in engineering, what you do is you take a big problem, you break it down into smaller problems, right? So you'd be like, okay, what's right. going on this weekend? What's going on next weekend? What's going on? And then you just kind of have these build up. And then again, I'm going to look back and have all these things written on there and all these things that I did and be like, okay, that was my year. That's cool. I don't have that. It's been 10 years since I remember what last year was.
It is all a blur, and it's hard to remember unless you do write it down and have something to look back at. Like, even journaling, if you can get yourself to journal just like 5 minutes before you go to bed or at some point during your day, then it helps you to look back on that and go, oh, what did I do this year?
Yeah, that's right.
So anybody that's going out there and getting into the workforce and end of year reviews come up, that's probably something you should do is have just a little journal, whether it's on your phone, iPad, or if it's old school in a notebook. But year in review, I don't know how to segue that. Well, the major is coming up this week for Rocket League, the first major. It's in Copenhagen, and we have some teams competing, a lot less teams than we have seen in the past due to structure changes. But it is finally happening, and I know the teams are over there right now. I think I saw a tweet of Calm Mom and Calm Dad. They were getting on the plane heading over there to go root their boy on for OG. So it's exciting again to see the families, the parents show up and gonna definitely make a good showing. But I don't know, we wanted to get on here. We haven't been on here in about 3 weeks and just give our quick prediction, I guess predictions. We're not very good savants at this, but what
well
we
let's
think
talk about
happen.
Some of the things kind of building up, right? Like, we've been off for a while. And mostly this year, we decided, like, we really want to dig into the community stuff and find out what's going on behind the scenes even more and learn those things. And we've had some amazing guests. So we haven't really got into as much of the tournament stuff and winners and losers and digging into the teams, but that's all because that's talked about everywhere. You can find that information anywhere, and it's exciting, but like, who are the people putting all those things together? Like, that's what we built up, right? Anyway, there's a lot of like crazy things happening around the scene that just keep popping up, and it's almost like death by a thousand paper cuts. It feels like Rocket League is coming to an RLCS, and I don't know which one to like look at or focus on because another one pops up. You know what I mean? There's
what was one of the ones that you saw?
So most recently was that there's only going to be so many live games at the.
Oh my god. So, right? Yeah, so
what, and people are like, what is happening? I just got here, or I have all these travel plans, I'm a parent, whatever it is, like they don't even know what to do. And that's just the one I saw, you know, recently.
Yeah, so what is it? It's only the first 2 days, no crowd, and it's the last two days will have crowd, but that's only the single elimination bracket. So no live crowd for Swiss at all is what I'm getting out of that.
So, yeah, so that 16 means that teams
half the teams days. Will be out by the time we get to a live crowd.
Yeah, and it's all best of sevens in a playoff.
Yeah, know, single right? elimination bracket. So the same format that we've seen that we saw throughout the first split.
Yeah. But why not round four or something be in front of a crowd? I don't know.
I can't wrap my head around the I can wrap my head around the reasoning for that. So the reasoning would be they don't want to rent out the big arena for that much time. So again, it comes back to money. The money's not there. We've been speculating that that's a big driver to a lot of things right now, and it's definitely still going in that direction. But I kind of feel bad. Like you kind of feel bad for the players that are not going to get to play in front of the crowd and get that experience. Because again, that's something that's very important to actually have in your repertoire and to say, yeah, I've been there. I know that feeling.
Are there a lot of players or teams that haven't been there before that actually made it to the major?
That have not been in front of a live crowd before?
Yeah. It seems like there was a lot obviously in the splits that made it, but that number gets dwindled down a lot when you talk about the whole world.
Yeah, it does dwindle down a lot. I think most of the players that we are seeing, they have been in front of a crowd before. I don't know every player off the top of my head from especially the minor regions. Yeah. With like a power, if anybody on there has played in front of a live crowd. But we have a lot of returning faces and they have actually been there before. But
it's not to say that's not a good point though, because it matters. That's why they're going there, right? Like right. Not only for the fans to watch and stuff, but like the players are traveling or doing like showing up live to play against each other live, which is awesome, but like they want the full experience.
Yeah. Half
of them aren't going to get it.
Half will not see the live crowd. But I'm just looking off of a prediction from Lawler's chat of who's going to, of Lawler, of who's going to actually get there into the final day. His chat came up with the Swiss results being number one, Carmine, number two, G2, and then BDS, Vitality, Gen G, Falcons, Furia, and OG. So his chat leaves out, you know, one of our good buddies and Raw Greg and his team, Luminosity. They're saying Luminosity won't make it, Gentlemen's, Complexity, Elevate. So you're looking at at least one NA team not making it in to the single elimination bracket. But who knows how this will actually play out? Because the first matchups, I mean, I think everybody can pretty much guess how those are going to go. The only toss-up one I see is Falcons and OG. I think OG could actually take
no one said complexity, huh? They usually come and surprise some people.
Yeah, they usually do. His chat also had Furia beating Luminosity, which I have high hopes for Luminosity. I think they'll be able to actually make it. They have the potential to have a very good showing. So we'll see what happens from that. But yeah, it's just it's not going how everybody thought the LAN would go already. And then did you see that they did announce London for Major 2? So Major number 2 is going to be over in Europe again. Well, okay, not technically Europe, it's England. So England's not part of Europe. But it's going to be across the pond, not in NA. So there's a lot of hope that Worlds will be in NA, but we'll see if that happens. I think the trend right now is they like the EU crowd.
Sounds more like than the an NA East crowd. Coast, too.
East Coast, you think?
I don't know. Maybe.
What did you see?
So much over here on the West Coast. I don't know. I'm just like thinking about the last few.
Well, I think to be fair, I think West Coast has more places and that people want to go to than.
But no players even live here.
Right. Yeah, your player base isn't there, but that's where people want to go.
It makes sense. Maybe that's why, right? Like, oh, let's travel the other side of the country.
I mean, if you have a chance to go play somewhere else other than where you live or close to where you live, that's what you're going to choose over.
Come to Phoenix in July.
I'm just going
to
go down the road. It'll be fun. Down the road. Did you say Phoenix in July? Dude, all the EU players will die if they go to Phoenix in July.
That'll give us an advantage.
No, nobody will be surviving that heat. You and I both know that from experience. If you don't have at least a year under your belt out there, then it is a slap in the face. You're going to have players dropping out of dehydration.
Tell people that. Make them all stay away.
Make them stay away. Well, I mean, you guys are in mini California now, so that's how that's going. But I don't know. I could see a Texas. I think there's a spot or two in Texas that could handle a good crowd for Worlds. I mean, we already did it in Fort Worth. Could see Florida. There's got to be a good option. That's the one place they haven't gone yet is Florida. And I'm kind of surprised by that because I would think you could tie it.
Disney and stuff.
That's what I was thinking. Disney. Disney would be like a good spot.
Especially since they are, aren't they in some way, do they buy into Epic or something?
Disney did buy into Epic. Yes, Disney bought into Epic. So, I mean, that would be, yeah. Could you imagine Worlds at Epcot? Like they have an arena there to,
I would definitely
showcase the event.
I would come meet you there.
Oh, that would be a wild party. I would probably just be riding rides more than watching Rocket League. So watch Rocket League during the day and then go hop around the parks at night. My wife would kill me if I went there without the fam, though.
No cameras. Don't do it. Just don't tell them about it.
Taking a look at chat real quick. Alexia asks if we know any of these players. Tai G-Man, Darklight, Night U, Seven, Panda, or Talk Turt. I know Darklight from when me and Coach JC used to do a Sunday like 1v1 Rumble, and Darklight
G-Man showed
up there a couple of times. Yeah, G-Man as well.
He was on JC's team.
Oh, that's right. JC did coach G-Man. They're all really good players. I haven't heard much of them lately, but with the transfer window coming up, I'm
where
curious.
Are you seeing chat? Is this Twitch?
That was Twitch chat.
Twitch. I forgot. Twitch existed.
You're getting back into the groove. You're not the producer, so
I'm watching the Twitter X.
No, yeah, you're watching Caitlin Clark right now.
I can't.
Oh, you can't. That's right.
Apparently, I have everything but regular ESPN. ESPN Plus. I have everything, but I don't have ESPN.
What is the score of that game? As we are sitting here talking about Rocket League, looking into, because it is March Madness. So if you have any interest,
oh, they won by 10.
Oh, they won by 10. Okay, so they keep going. But Seven's in here. Yeah, G-Man, Seven, Darklight all played for him. Pretty sure. I think I do remember that. Seven. How you doing, buddy? But yeah, this major, it's going to be, I have high hopes as I have all season, but I also want to manage my own expectations of what is actually going to happen throughout the broadcast and everything. So hopefully everything goes off without a hitch and it actually.
And a place for him now.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I didn't even look at this list. That's what I just looked.
Seven says, nah, this major is chalked. Okay.
It already hasn't even started yet. When's it start? Thursday? Was that the day?
Yes, it should start Thursday.
So Thursday, are those Friday, predictions that, so first of all, you look at Liquipedia and you see trending. Usually you see a bunch of things. Now it says RLCS Major 1, Zen, RLCS 2024 Worlds, and then RLCS 2023 Worlds, which is weird. But it's so weird, everybody's looking Zen. At Zen. I've never seen just like a player's name in the trending before like that.
Everybody wants to know, what is Zen going to be doing?
Yeah, like crazy.
I mean, he is the... He is their golden child right now.
It's their tournament to lose. Is that where we're at?
I would say that is the case. It is their tournament to lose. But I think a lot of people have high hopes for, with the way Carmine Corp looked throughout the split, that it's really a neck and neck. It's EU's to lose.
Vatira is the GOAT.
Vatira is the GOAT. But that's kind of the struggle with NA right now. Is that
one way or another, France has gotten 8 or 9 of the best players in the world in the top 3 teams. Like, it's crazy.
One day somebody is going to finally be able to explain to us what French players have that nobody else does. Cause it doesn't make sense. I would love for someone to actually be able to figure out what
those players
do. Did you watch
that Napoleon movie on Apple TV?
Man, no, I didn't need to watch a Napoleon movie. I did enough Napoleon research.
Thinking
in my
about
day.
France and it's,
short man syndrome.
Yeah, but a lot more than that. Just what a wild time. France has got I never really had a strong opinion about them, but there's a lot that they've got going for them in certain things once you start digging in. I think it's more like they're bought into certain things, right? Like this. And it's really cool to see. Have you ever watched like Japanese baseball?
Yes.
Right. Like, it's just like a whole thing. It's a production and everyone's behind it and it's really cool and people want to see it. And it wasn't until recently that they started getting like the same bigger, faster, stronger that South Americans and United States and all the other player bases that have been good at baseball historically are at the top levels. And they're getting there too because they've kind of willpowered themselves into it. So I think similarities there.
Yeah, it's a big community thing over there that finally really caught hold and has been really helpful to the growth of what they've been doing. Speaking on that, you're a big baseball guy.
That's right.
So did Otani, do you think he actually did the gambling or was it all through his interpreter? And do you think Pete Rose would have gotten in trouble if he had an interpreter?
I think it's too early to speculate because you could go either way here. I think the amount of money it was makes me
It was like $4 million.
Yeah, and this kid's got a salary or his interpreter's got a salary of like $300,000 or whatever. How can you be placing... Who's going to give you that much credit, right? Like, it's crazy. I don't know, but also you want to give him the benefit of the doubt. Is he one of the good guys? I don't know. We only know his professional side, right?
True.
There's not a lot of secrecy, but like when players aren't in the spotlight in their personal lives, you just have no idea. So I don't know.
You don't know what they're doing.
But that also bred another, there's a whole new, video game, Japanese baseball video game. Have you seen this thing?
No.
Oh my gosh. It's let me look it up again real quick. It's called
a Japanese game. Baseball.
It's insanity. Professional Baseball Spirits. Look up the Professional Baseball Spirits. The graphics are ridiculous and put MLB the Show to game. It is insanity. And it's going to be coming out this year. They're doing like a whole thing. They have a whole new engine. They're running it off of, what do you know? UE5.
We don't say that.
It's crazy. Just watch the trailer when you get a chance and you'll see. So everything we talk about just kind of...
Well, hang on. I'm about to put it up right here after I... fix your camera. I don't know where your camera went.
It's all right.
we'll fix that later.
I don't know what that is. Oh, you're doing like the making of. Don't you speak Japanese?
No, I don't speak Japanese. I didn't realize my other speakers were on. Okay. So they're obviously using actual players to mapping out of the field and everything. That's cool. Oh my god. These graphics are, like you said, they're ridiculous.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I never really played MLB The Woo! Show, but is it, it's like...
It's, this is a whole other level.
Yeah, that... Why can't we just have UE5?
It's a whole other level. It's crazy.
Like, come on, it should get there. But actually, like,
it's
you
coming
talk about
out for PS5 and Steam. I don't know if it's going to come to the US though, or if you have to VPN to Japan to get. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll have to do more digging into that. And yeah, it will launch 2024 in Japan. Yeah. So not coming to the US, which that's kind of a bummer, but oh well. But talking like on UE5. The one of the developers for Valorant came out and she talked, and I saw snippets of it. I didn't listen to her entire thing, but she was talking about how they have right now like no plans of moving Valorant to UE5 because of the demand that it would take to do it. And it leads to this question, and I feel like Psyonix is in the same boat. They laid off so much staff that it almost has made moving to UE5 is off the table. And the sad part is nobody will tell us that it is off the table because they don't have the programmers. They can't pay the programmers to do the heavy lifting, which I struggle with that because to me, you have a problem and you're just immediately saying no instead of saying, how do we get to yes? How do we move this forward so that we can actually achieve a goal that the community would love to see and not just hang on the coattails of the same old crap? Because they did just come out with for Rocket Racing that you can now start making your own maps and making your own tracks. And so it's, again, we're seeing something that we've been begging for in Rocket League and it's not happening. It just makes you wonder, like, they signed this contract with Blast, and is this even going? Is it? They signed it with Blast. Is it even going to last, or is it going to die out before
that's
that?
That's what contracts do. Oh, is Rocket League going to die out?
Yeah,
I'm not going to lie, man. It's harder and harder to spend a lot of time on the game. Personally, there's so much going on in the creator world and the content world and the RLCS world that it's hard to really see the horizon or like the long term where it's going to end up. But
well, especially
there's
especially
still
when
a bunch of us holding hope.
Well, especially when we thought we saw like where it was going, and then it just took. It took a left turn and went the completely opposite direction. And so now we're all left in limbo of what is the game that we love and enjoy going to be in the next year, next 2 years. We just don't know. And right now it doesn't feel like there's any plans to move it forward. It's just going to maintain and keep it where it's at. But I mean,
where's Rocket League 2?
Rocket League 2, we don't need a Rocket League 2. We just need Rocket League UE5.
Well, wouldn't that be that? Just
it
make
would
a whole,
be, yes.
Start from scratch.
Just, yeah, start it from scratch. Don't even try and import. Could you imagine if you just did it from scratch and they all of a sudden came out and said, yeah, new game, everything you paid for, not coming over. There was that one game did it. I forget what game it was. They did say that. That when the time it would take them to port everything over, they ended up just like giving you credits every month to buy new stuff. Because they said they could not, it was just going to take way too long in programming world, which I feel like with AI now, that shouldn't be a problem. But you're a programmer, you know more in that stuff than I do. Obviously not in that realm of programming, but kind of somewhat along the same lines.
No, I mean, it is. In there's things like what's important now, what advances us, does it going to make money, how much work is it? Like, there's lots of different variables that come into play when you're building something or redoing something or adding to. That's why you see some things just don't matter to them, right? Like, if the interface, right? Like, there could be something mess up and they don't really care that much because it doesn't really do much to get them further than that or whatever the case is. But everyone's screaming for help at this point.
Everybody is looking for help. It is not lost. While we are just on the subject of rumors and things going on, looking quickly at the Liquipedia transfer portal and the rumors that are out there. So some going rumors right now is Gyro would be off of Dignitas. Ares from Pirates on a Boat gets picked up by Dignitas. There's a possible Justin from Shopify to Dignitas. Dignitas is going to change their entire roster, it looks like. Looks like they're looking to replace Gyro. And their options out there are Ares, Justin, Astral, Stizzy. And then if you had the Justin move, then you would go Andy from Pirates on a Boat to Shopify, it looks like. So it looks like we are in the realm of players moving around, as always. It is going to be the one time to do it this season. So everybody's going to have to make sure that their moves count and that they do it strategically and smartly. What were some other ones? Those were all back in January. So that was at the start of the season. So yeah, that's what we really got for the transfer window right now. Bucket, who do you think takes the entire major?
Hard to root against Zen, man. Vitality is definitely the favorite, in my opinion. It's also hard to root against Vatira. But those are individuals, right? Like, we got to go team-based. I would love to say Daniel and Beast Mode are going to show up and just dominate, but this is the first time we're seeing these matchups. And if we know anything about these Swiss things, not everything is going to shake out like I think it's going to.
That's kind of the bummer with it, is trying to make a prediction. You don't know which way it's going to go when you have Swiss, and then you have no clue what this single bracket of limb is going to look like. So if we're taking off of, I think the Lawler chat one is a pretty good representation, showing that the single elimination bracket contains Carmine versus OG, Vitality versus Gen G, G2 versus Furia, BDS versus Falcons. I would have to say it would really suck for the community. I think it does work out well that you have Carmine and Vitality in this setup meeting up in the semifinals and not meeting up in the finals, because it kind of shows who's going to be the king of EU to go fight for the region. And then it has his chat had G2 beating BDS in the semis to go play Carmine, and G2 loses out 4-3.
So what have they got there? 3-4 European teams, all four making it, or not gentlemates?
Carmine, European Vitality teams, and BDS, and then three NA teams, G2,
OG, OG over Luminosity. Okay. And then, so that's six. And then the other two are South America and
MENA.
Or not South America, not Complexity.
Well, Furia.
Oh,
that's
Sam.
That's right. Yeah. And then Falcons is.
So, Mina. Okay. So good that we have three NA teams that are people are behind. I'd love to see it. That would make me really happy.
If I had to make one change in there that they have, I think it's that I think Luminosity gets in over Falcons. I don't think Falcons gets all the way to the final day, the final 2 days. I think they'll lose out in the Swiss, and it's going to come down to who do they come up against in Swiss and who gets that upper hand. So like if it, looking at the way they have it drawn out, Falcons would beat Luminosity in round 3. But if you put Luminosity in that category, then that puts them in after round 3, which I think that is very possible. I don't agree with the 3-1. So you put Luminosity in that spot, and then I think it could still play out the same way. And yeah, so then you'd get 4 NA teams and 3 EU, but we'll have to see what happens. I do think it's Carmine's tournament to lose going into this. Ryzen, Vatira, they look awesome, and I think they're going to do fantastic work.
Yeah, I mean, G2's looked awesome as well, so, but it's a whole other level, you think?
It's very different, especially when you get in front of the crowd, too, and it's going to be an EU-based crowd, not going to, hopefully they're chanting Laniel and cheering him on and getting beast mode, you know, going, but I think right now, if you're going off of performance in front of a crowd, Vatira, I think, has the upper hand on that. Good. So, I hate to say it because I want to see NA win, but right now I think it is in the hands of EU. It's EU's tournament to lose, and I think Carmine Corp's at the top of that. But hopefully we get just a wild ride, and it's entertaining throughout the weekend. But yeah.
Yeah, that's what we're looking for, right? Let's get some excitement. Let's build something.
Let me run this idea by you. I had put it in Hootie Who's Twitter, but I didn't get any responses off of it. I think it would be interesting, like, to change up this. You go like a March Madness style, and instead of doing 3 matches, you do a normal bracket, and you do a 10-minute match with after 5 minutes, you have a 3-minute halftime to have coaches, like, you get your time to sit there and chat about what's going on, and then you go into the second 5 minutes of the game, and it's a continuous score. You don't reset the score, and that would be your Rocket League match for a tournament, instead of playing 3 or 5 consecutive games where it always gets reset. It's very dangerous because you could get in a situation where someone gets a big lead early, and then it's very hard to come back from that. But I think it would make it a little more interesting than just doing Swiss and single elimination where you're playing 7 games.
What?
Did I say too much?
No, I'm just messing. No, I think the thing is you have to try those kind of things before something like this, right? Like, you would need to try those out, like those game modes or whatever, somewhere else first.
Yeah, like,
does a 10-minute game make any sense at all? Like, that's throwing a whole new level into something that's everyone's used to, something else, right? I like thinking outside the box, but I don't think that you could just plug in something like that without it being.
No, I agree. I think it'd be an interesting tournament to run, because then the way you manage the game would be a lot different.
Yeah.
It would not be just, hey, we have 5 minutes, go ham, and then we get to reset and try again if it doesn't work out. Like, you have to be on and continuously keep that going.
Yeah, exactly.
But
that's, you know, it could be 10 and nothing, and you're like, well, what are we doing?
It could be 10 nothing, and then they get, they just get sidetracked, and then all of a sudden it's 10-10.
You never know.
That would make for some interesting scores. I feel like instead of the same old same, I feel like it could just change it up and bring like a little breath of life into the tournaments. But that's just me.
Yeah, I don't want to say it's dumb, but it's dumb.
Of course you think it's dumb. You don't like any of my ideas.
That's not true.
I mean, you. What do you have?
I have nothing. I haven't thought that deep about it. I'm not sure that it's the format that's going to save everything.
I don't think the format is. Format change will only get you so far. I think we just need to get through this. And anybody that is listening, if you're a Rocket League fan, if you're an RLCS fan, I think we all have to agree that we just have to push through this season and hopefully we can just write it off as like the almost like a COVID year and be like, it happened. Yeah, there were champions, but like it's okay. It will hopefully get better and we will see a turn in everything going on. Before we go, you got anything else?
Nah, man, I'm just excited to watch some Rocket League again and hopefully be entertained. And let's just try to enjoy what has culminated in this season and see if we can pull out some positives, because there's been a lot of negatives.
Yeah.
So hopefully we get a lot of positives and we can speak to that next week. That's what I'm hoping for.
I would agree. Good luck to Stax and the rest of the crew that is there and going to provide entertainment to everybody. We wish you guys the best of luck. And hopefully it goes off just fine and we see some good Rocket League and no controversy comes out of this. So from Bucket and I, we hope you guys enjoy the rest of your week. If you're listening on any major podcast platform, please be sure to subscribe, share. Trying to pump those numbers up. We do enjoy doing this and talking about it. If you have any questions, feel free to tweet at us at Bucket and Hoosier. We would love to chit chat and, I don't know, pick everybody's brain. We are going to try and get some guests on like we did earlier this year. We're just kind of waiting for everybody to come back from Copenhagen and we'll get right back to it. But from us, we will catch you all next week. And yeah, have a good week and talk to you later. Bye.